Learn to appreciate all the beauty that surrounds you. Turn towards all the love that's all around you. So eager to throw it all away.
for the old stuff. One of your signature pieces, Blood on the Rooftops. Tell us about that.
Funnily enough, I've just re-recorded Blood on the Rooftops for inclusion on something else I'm working on at the moment, with an extended intro and an orchestra on it, and going to town on it. Blood on the Rooftops, from way back with Genesis, was a song that indulged my my passion for playing nylon guitar. I was interested to see whether rock songs could really support nylon guitar, which is, you know, the gentlest of all of the, you know, the guitar family. But it seems as if Genesis could at that time. Lyrically, the idea is that all the levels of action and everything that takes place happens on the screen in front of you. It's a song written around and for the television. So it's as if the listener, the watcher, the audience is an appendage to the box that they're watching. In other words, it really is adventures in hyper reality. But of course, we're so conditioned to accept that it's made us in a way, you know, very comfortable and apolitical and on another level, although it's raised social awareness, it's just so easy to switch it off whenever there's something that's a problem. So you know, the TV has got the ability to be able to entertain you endlessly, but then it's when it's educating you, suddenly it's switched. That, you know, that window on the world that is the TV, suddenly when it goes from pure fantasy, which is 90% of the time, to getting that 10% of reality, and suddenly the bullets are real and the bombs are real and there's real misery. So I was trying to write a song that had some kind of raised political awareness about it, if only to, you know, lambast the those who are apathetic politically.
Let's see the news, boy. man tossing, still surprised. You've won the West, in time to be our guest. Name your prize. Drop of wine, glass of beer, dear, what's the time? Rhyme on the time is mine, all mine, all mine. 9:05. Blood on the rooftops, finish in the spring. Streets of San Francisco.
Seeing you at your first Nearfest performance. I didn't get a chance to see the second one, but the first one was the, I believe, the Darktown tour, but you were playing music from To Watch the Storms. Brand New was a great vocal piece from that album.
I'm glad you did that one. I think that some of the production ideas on that, the recorded version of that, were good. It's something that I'd like to... maybe one day I'll go at that one again. I feel this terrible yen to go back and record all sorts of things that I've done in the past, and every now and again I do. You know, you just feel the need to do the version that's neater than its predecessor somehow.
Winter's coming through the fall.
Fire on the Moon?
Fire on the Moon is the first track on Out of the Tunnel's Mouth, which has Chris Squire on bass. I believe it's Roger King and myself doing the rest on that particular one. Now, did we have real drums on it? I think originally we had real drums. We had Simon Phillips on that one. And then I got into contractual difficulties with my previous management team, and suddenly rights were being contested left, right, and center to everything. And so I had to put it to one side, and I ended up re-recording the song, working with samples, ironically, with samples of Simon's work. So for a convoluted around the house's way of doing something, but sometimes you know, you find yourself involved in you know, legal complications, and that's when you either go to ground and perhaps give up and hit the bottle and do whatever it takes. But there's nothing like a challenge, you know, to make you, you know, pull back and fight back from the brink. And I think the song, both lyrically and in terms of its very difficult history, I mean, if ever a song was a breech birth rather than an immaculate conception, it was certainly that one. So it was kind of dragged screaming into the world, but then, you know, that's the nature of the lyric as well. It's a song about, you know, divorce and breakup and trying to find your equilibrium, your center again, which I did, luckily, and I like to think that I came to my senses, and that documents the nearest thing to a nervous breakdown that I've ever had. But I guess I prefer that if you're going to have a nervous breakdown, you might as well carry on, you know. You might as well carry on and not let it destroy you, if you can. I mean, I realize it's not everyone's, not everyone can do that, and no one should lacerate and criticize themselves if they need help to pull through. But I've always found that music was a great, I drew great strength from it. It's always given me a lot.
Thank you. reappears, still confronted by the many faces I leave. No matter how I try to heal this injury, still the trophies line up on the wall.
Where the Steve Hackett style really seems to shine through is Sea of Smiles.
Sea of Smiles. In a sense, I think I was writing something that was all influenced by all things American, or really Anglo-American. I was thinking of Crosby, Stills, and the times when Yes sounded as if they've been influenced by Crosby, Stills. So I think that you know, Chris and I share a love of vocal harmonies, and I kind of mapped it out that way, really. Again, there's a lot of detail on it, and it's probably best heard in 5.1, but in stereo, it certainly does the business. And for my money, I think this is one where I really absolutely love Chris's bass sound on it, you know, both round and heavy, but at the same time it's got that twang to it that's so typical of him. So also lyrically, a little bit influenced by Khalil Gibran, who wrote The Prophet, except that in this case he was writing literary love letters to somebody who he described as having a sea of smiles. So it's got a romantic history, this one.
You that I'd always find you out in the sun, flying high. Fire and ice, my gypsy child. Over and over, a sea of smiles.
Sky, calling you, reach
Wind and Wuthering, Unquiet Slumbers for the Sleepers, In That Quiet Earth, and Afterglow. It's one of those very uplifting pieces and a great show closer. How did this all come about?
Well, I would say, with Genesis, what we tended to do was we would individually bring in melodies, and then sometimes we would pair off. Like, I would go off with Mike, and we would come up with the melody that was In That Quiet Earth. It was originally, you know, Mike had the chords. I was writing a melody around those chords. And once that was done, Phil suggested a completely different rhythm to it entirely, and which is why you had the idea of something that's almost a fast waltz spinning out of control, almost a kind of rock mazurka, really. Really, we came in with individual bits and paired it all up together. And many bridge passages later, you get that thing that some people have described, because of Blood and Rooftops, which precedes it, described as the Blood Suite. And it's funnily enough, it's another one that I've recorded, you know, Blood on the Rooftops, and this whole section of Unquiet Slumbers for the Sleepers, In That Quiet Earth, and Afterglow. I think of them all as, you know, something that runs so successfully concurrently that I can't bring myself to pull it apart. You know, it just seems like it flows seamlessly, and I think it's the very best or some of the very best that I was involved with the band, and I think it's also up to the standard in terms of ideas of the stuff that we did on Selling England by the Pound, Dancing with the Moonlit Night. I'm thinking of particularly, you know, the fusion aspect of that, before anyone was using the term fusion or before progressive was in common parlance, that's what we were doing naturally.
Mm-hmm.
message everywhere, just to hear your call. Walk upon stranger roads than this one, in a world I used to know before. I miss you more than the sun reflecting on my pillow, bringing
'76. That's Genesis, and that is three tracks to end Wind and Weathering. It's Unquiet Slumbers for the Sleepers in That Quiet Earth and Afterglow. And before that, Squack It from the 2012 album A Life Within a Day, the In Focus album for this edition. And we heard a track called Sea of Smiles. And before that, Steve Hackett from his 2010 album Out of the Tunnel's Mouth. And we heard a first track from that called Fire on the Moon, also with Chris Squire on bass on that one. And before that, Steve Hackett from the album To Watch the Storms, and we heard a track from that one called Brand New. And before that, Genesis again from Wind and Weathering, 1976, we heard Blood on the Rooftops, and kicking off part four, Haas Froberg and the Musical Companion, the brand new one, it's called Power Play, the name of the album, and we heard a track called The Final Hour. And that's a wrap for this edition of the Camus Prague Hour. I'd like to thank Steve Hackett for agreeing to do the interview, and also Greg Lounsbury for conducting the interview. See you next time.
Thank you for listening.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
We now return to our recording already in progress.